You seek refuge in Allah from your cursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our viewers to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you live from Sahar Universal Network, from the Islamic Republic of Iran, and from the holy city of Qum. And I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. The topic of this program today is the mourning of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Of course, this is a unique ritual amongst the Shia in particular, who every year, because we are in the months as Muharram has passed and the month of Safar has started, tend to do this ritual in terms of the remembrance of the martyrdom of Imam Hussain, the third holy successor to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy family. So we are going to discuss in depth what is the meaning of this ritual, why this is a distinct and unique feature amongst those who follow the Ahlul Bayt, that why they cry. And in other words, although it is a very natural act, but it has tremendous significant and profound meaning in the mystical and philosophical aspects of Islam. So I'm going to discuss this with our expert in the studio shortly after this break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. Since this is a live program, there will be some numbers shown on the screen as well as an email. Please make use of them if you feel that you'd like to contribute to the program. I'd like to introduce my guest and expert in the studio on the subject of the mourning of Imam Hussain, and that is Sheikh Dawoodi, who is a professor, a lecturer, researcher here in the Holy Seminaries of Qum. A very warm welcome to you, sir, and thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I'm so happy being with you.
Thank you very much, sir. Sheikh Dawoodi, you gave us quite a lot about information about the philosophy of the resistance of injustice, of the movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam last week. But this week we are going to move on to something quite specific, which is really unique to the followers of Ahlul Bayt and the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt. And we're going to look at mourning, the concept of mourning, and the concepts of the rituals of mourning. Please go into the sort of historical background of where this comes from in the traditions of Islam, or even in previous scriptures, if I can say so, in terms of the Evangel or in terms of the Torah, if there are references to this before. And what is its significance? I mean, why is this concept of crying very important in terms of human remembrance or human feeling towards or sympathy towards a particular individual or a movement?
Okay. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Assalamu alaykum, Ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifana'ik. Blessing of Allah upon those upon Imam Hussein and those who have sacrificed themselves for Imam Hussein.
Of course, God bless them all.
To go back to the history from the very beginning, after the death and demise of the Prophet, Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we find out that the society gathered together to find a caliph for themselves.
Yes.
And so they came to the first caliph and so on and so on. It was quite sure for a society that they little by little believed that the person who is going to be their caliph is the person that they have to obey. He has come from the God, and obeying the caliph is the same as obeying the prophet or something like this.
Right.
But we find out that at the time of Imam Hussein, you know, the way has changed a little.
Well, I mean, what you're saying there, you know, really comes out of the Quran as well, because in the school of Ahlul Bayt particularly, we emphasize the fact that the leadership or the walaya of the ummah, the Muslim ummah, is divine. It's appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So this aspect was taken in with the Khalafa, but the Khalafa didn't represent that. It exactly. represented something more to do with politics and to do with political leadership, but didn't have this aspect to it. And of course, this is where it kind of deviated over time.
Yeah, to clarify the situation, I'm going to, you know, say about the society at that time, their sure. points of view from sure. this. Of course, we have many words of Allah, how we say, ayat. Mm-hmm. That's they say, atiullah wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum.
That's right,
so,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Surely, this is the divine, you know, position, yeah. not the worldly position.
That Arabic means that we have to obey Allah, we have to obey the Prophet, and obey
course,
those who have authority over,
over course,
us.
Over
yes,
us.
Yes, yes.
So, we're not going to talk about, you know, these ayat, but
no.
We want to clarify the situation by going back to the history.
Absolutely.
So at the time of Imam Hussein, we find out that the caliphate, you know, has changed a little, you know, to those people that they were not even Muslim, you know.
Right.
Of course, yeah, they call themselves a Muslim, but... Mm. Everyone at that society knew that Yazid was not a real Muslim.
Mm.
So Imam Hussein wanted to show that being a hakim, ruler, caliph is completely different from being divine.
Yeah, and from being
of
Imam.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Imam Hussein, by his uprising, you know, wanted to establish and change, you know, this... think of the people at that time. So he showed this position as a really divine position, and he sacrificed himself to show the way to the people after himself.
Yes.
It is the situation at that time. Mm-hmm. The people say that the person who is caliph, he has come from Allah. We have to obey. So Imam Hussein showed that, no, we do not have to obey a person who is not justice. Mm. We have to obey those who are justice, of course.
Who are just,
of
yes.
course,
who
yeah.
are just,
who are,
yes.
Who are just, sorry.
Mm.
Who are just. Mm. And being just is very important
Absolutely.
for the ruler, for the person who has the authority in the society.
Mm-hmm.
This was the way that Imam Hussein started, you know, his movement, I say, you know.
Sure.
Maybe sometimes they say it was a kind of uprising and so on.
Yeah.
So Imam Hussein started to change, you know, this feeling of the society.
Mm.
It is from the very beginning, and we have many different words from Imam Hussein that at that time, when they say that you have to obey Yazid, he said, right now, at this time, Alal Islam as Salam, everything has finished, Islam has finished. Because this ruler is not a divine ruler, he is not a person who wants to, you know, follow the regulations of Islam, Islamic law, and so on.
Sure.
But we go forward, you know, when did the mourning for Imam Hussein started?
That's right. This is
exactly,
the, this
yeah.
is the thing, yeah.
The things that we want to talk about it. We can divide it into, you know, parts. We say from the very beginning of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, we go back to the, you know, the 10th of Muharram, that we call it Ashura. In the afternoon, when Imam Hussein was martyred, you know, from very beginning, of course, as usual, his family and household started to cry for him. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was the very beginning of mourning for Imam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
It has been, you know, continued for about a year. You know, Imam Sajjad and the followers of Imam Hussein, you know, were all the time crying for Imam Hussein. They were weeping for Imam Hussein and mourning for Imam Hussein until that, you know, the time that they called that year the year of, you know, sadness.
The year of sadness, yes,
yeah.
yes. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a year full of sadness for mm-hmm. the household of Imam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were captured by the, Yazid and
the Umayyad army, taken, enslaved them.
Exactly, yeah, that's right. As an enslaved, they were taken to Damascus, and after that they came back to...
But we have to point out the fact that, the reason why there is this crying, tremendous heartfelt sympathy for the Ahlul Bayt is because of the cruelty involved. There was a lot of barbarity shown to the household of the Prophet. I mean, it was not like that, this was just a battle or something like this had happened and they were made prisoners. It was the way it was done that really moves people, that, that how could the family of the Prophet be treated in this way?
Yes, nobody would do it.
Yeah, I mean, the rules as far as, Islam is concerned, in the treatment of prisoners, in the dealing with your enemy. I mean, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who was the mercy unto mankind. I mean, he pointed out these rules and he pointed out complete mercy towards even his opponents and releasing them and, telling them not to even tie their hands or things like this. But they were doing things to Imam Hussain that are unspeakable, and this is what we want to point out to our viewers, that when they see us in these morning sermon, when we are in these mosques and we are sitting there and listening to this thing, it's just that the description that's given, what is told to us from the pulpit about what happened to Imam Hussain, really, I mean, no human being can restrain his tears. I know that there were many Englishmen, for example, Orientalists, who came to Iran. And they hadn't heard of such a thing before, back in the 18th, 19th century, when they were discovering all these things. And, they went back and, even people like Charles Dickens and other influential authors started writing things about Imam Hussain because they were completely moved by what had happened to the grandson of the Prophet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it happened. As you mentioned, Charles Dickens, you know the very famous word from him, that he said, I believe that the movement of Imam Hussein was not, a word for worldly desire.
That's right,
Because his, family, wives, and
children
were accompanying him.
Yeah.
So it showed that Imam Hussein was not, uprising for taking the authority in the society or something like this.
That's
it was not worldly desire.
That's right. Exactly. It was to move the hearts and minds of the people.
So unfortunately, we say such a cruel had happened. And his family and those who were with Imam Hussein started mourning, and it continued at least for a year.
Yes.
And as I told you, this year was called Aum al-Huzn, the year of sadness. So it is very famous that all the time Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam was, weeping, crying for his father Imam Hussein.
Of course.
Who has been, who has witnessed, his martyrdom at the Battle of Karbala.
It also has to be mentioned that Imam Bakr, the fifth holy Imam, was the only surviving grandson from Karbala as well. Yes.
Exactly.
What about the uncle as well, Muhammad Hanfiya? He also, was a recluse. He just went to his house and he just cried for his brother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we see that they were really satisfied with those who has apprised to, of course, do something good for them. For example, Mukhtar,
That's right.
Of course, Muhammad al-Hanafiya was so pleased with him.
Uh-huh.
Not only he, but the other imams, it is very famous that Imam al-Baghir, who has witnessed the grandson of Mukhtar, he showed that they were pleased with the actions that Mukhtar did.
Yes,
of course. So it is one part of the mourning.
But that was a separate episode in terms of what happened in the aftermath of Imam Hussain. But it shows the wisdom of what Imam Hussain alayhi salam had done in Karbala, that it moved the society, it moved the people, even to individuals, as you say, like Mukhtar, really, wanted to take revenge on those who had done those cruel acts in Karbala. But at the same time, there was also, other individuals as well, like Suleiman, for example, in the Tawabin, as they were called in Arabic, the penitents, who repented, who felt that they had let Imam Hussain down, and they cried and they wept.
They felt guilty,
They felt guilty that why we didn't listen to our Imam and do what he asked us at the time.
So last session we a little talk about such revolutions, or if you say such uprisings.
Uprisings, of course.
But here we want to go for the time that mourning for Imam Hussein has
now
started.
Now, you were saying before we were on air, you said there were two different types of mourning.
Of
please mention about
so
those.
The first one, as I mentioned, I told you from the very beginning, you know, his family, Imam Hussein's family, started mourning for them for a year, and I said that it was called the year of sadness.
Yes.
But the second one, which is very, very important, and nowadays we are following this one. It has started from the time of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam.
Right, from the fifth
Holy of course,
Imam, yes.
They wanted to make such a mourning, you know, as a special ritual in Islam, you know.
Interesting.
Of course, for different reasons that we are going to talk about them.
Sure, please do.
So we say that Imam al-Baqir, we have many different hadith, you know, traditions from Imam al-Baqir, that they say crying, wiping for Imam Hussein has very good rewards in the hereafter, inshallah, of course.
Right. So that's
Only Imam al-Baqir, but the following Imam up to Imam al-Ridha and so on.
Sure.
They wanted to establish, you know, mourning for Imam Hussein as a special ritual in Islam, you know, to make it a ritual for Islam, for different reasons, of course. You know, it has got different, you know, effects.
Right.
For example, one of them is by mourning on Imam Hussein, you know, the people make themselves to think about the tragedy of Karbala and find out what Imam Hussein has done for the religion and what they have done for themselves, you know.
This is a very important concept you touch on, because of course the idea and the concept of repentance, of making tawbah, is an opportunity given to us throughout our lifetime. And of course the natural act of a human being before his creator is to cry.
Is to cry, of course.
I mean, this is the most natural act of prophets. It was the natural act of any righteous person or any person who has been given some hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will be forgiven for his sins. And this is part of that. I mean, this is very interesting how the Imams have combined this aspect of tawbah or repentance with this ritual of remembering Imam Hussein, because we understand that he has done something, you know, that is very lofty. But we ourselves are, you know, very short in this thing.
When we, you know, find out something about the life of these Imams, we find out that they were, you know, advising people for writing some poems. Some poems on the mourning of Imam Hussein.
That's right, yes.
A kind of, you know, elegy, we say.
Yes, eulogies,
Of course, yeah.
That's right, yes.
It is very important why they use, you know, we say such things. It is very important for the people to not to forget it, because at the time of Imam al-Baqir and the following Imams, you know, even though at that time some other, you know, cruel people were, you know, ruling
they had taken
the society,
power again.
Of course,
the form of the Abbasids later on,
Exactly.
Of course,
so they didn't have any other way, you know, to stimulate people not to forget the tragedy of Ashura.
Absolutely.
And of course the Imam Hussein's, you know, we say goals. So by this way, taking this way, you know, by stimulating the feeling and of course, you know, the what do we say, the word, such a things for the people, they wanted to make it alive among the people, among the Muslims. Yeah.
Exactly, a way of keeping it alive, absolutely, yes.
So we see that the traditions for being rewarded for crying for Imam Hussein, establishing yearly, you know, ceremonies for mourning for Imam Hussein.
Especially like we have in the beginning of the month of Muharram, these first 10 days. I mean, this has become a set ritual in terms of sitting together and remembering what the Holy Imam did at this time.
And even it goes to the, you know, we say the appearance of the Muslims at this time. For example, to dress as a person who is mourning for.
Wearing of black clothes, for example.
These things were very usual because in this way they could make the tragedy of Karbala and the goal of Imam Hussein alive among the society, because they didn't have enough power, to show the way.
Absolutely.
Another thing which is very important for these ceremonies or so on was when people start to establish such a discussions or special ceremonies for mourning, we find out that many different things from the real religion, are going to be discussed, and little by little the people get aware of the real Islam. For example, we call it, Roza.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
The people go to the place, to the mosque, for example, or other places that they were established for mourning.
Sure.
But not only mourning, but many different things. For example, many traditions from the Prophet, many ayat from the Holy Quran are going to be said there. Okay, they are.
Well, that's important because this is really the whole essence of what the Imams are doing, because this is a platform for education. So we are going there to, to learn more about the Quran, the meaning of the Quran, so the hadiths from the Prophet regarding his family, being reminded once again that this is the only path of salvation for this world and the hereafter. We're learning about the fact that the Imams are divinely appointed. And the other things that, as you quite rightly say, it's about our reform. That we use this opportunity to reform ourselves. Yeah. If we are lacking in something or we are not doing something good, then we will feel ashamed before our Imam. So in that sense, we want to, be more nearer to him so that we learn that, these are things we shouldn't be doing or we should improve. And also it gives us the chance also to worship in these days as well, isn't there? There's also, more emphasis on prayer, more emphasis on even a small fast, for example. I think I'm not sure of the name, but we just call it a small sort of fast that is held just up between morning and afternoon, for example, just to remember the thirst of the Imam and on the day of Ashura. So there are things like this, isn't there, as well?
So, of course.
Yes.
So not only we call them mourning, but they are a system for training people. What is the real Islam and so on. They can be discussed in such ceremonies or so on. So these are the way that Ahlul Bayt and A'immah started to make people cry for Imam Hussein, establish ceremonies for mourning for Imam Hussein and so on, because of this reason.
How did Imam Sajjad in the beginning start these mourning ceremonies? What was his way of inviting people in and doing? Did he do it in his own home, or was there a special place they went to, or what happened?
Yes. Uh-huh. All the time in his home, everyone, I told you that everyone who saw Imam Sajjad at that time, that he was crying. Even, for example, when they wanted to kill or the slaughter.
Yes, that's right. The sheep,
bear,
for example.
Sheep or so on.
Yes.
Imam Sajjad called them, if you have given water to them.
Ah,
okay, so water, so yeah. it is very, very important that all the time Imam Sajjad wanted to mention, the tragedy of
Karbala.
Yeah.
Please mention now a little bit about the quality of the mourning. Now, this is important, isn't it? I mean, this is a very natural act, as you say. It's a natural act of the remembrance of what happened to the Imam. And we want to avoid anything in Islam which affects dignity or what you call the honor of the believer. Mm-hmm. But we are going to speak about that shortly after a break. So viewers, please stay with us with this discussion about the mourning of Imam Hussein. We're going to go a little bit deeper into the actual rituals themselves. So please stay with us. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ejaz Hussain. And we're speaking about the topic of the mourning of Imam Hussain. We're looking into deeper into the actual rituals that especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt perform during the mourning ceremonies, during especially this month of Muharram that just passed, and you know, the month of Safar. Sheikh Dawoodi, thank you very much for so far explaining, you know, the historical background of the mourning of Imam Hussain. Tell us a little bit now about the quality of this mourning. I mean, in what way is this mourning, as you said, it has its rewards, but what else does it have? What are the other effects of this on the human being itself, on the person himself?
Yes. In one way, we can say that this mourning has two different, you know, affections.
Okay.
First of all,
two different effects.
First of all, individually, mm-hmm. and of course for the society.
Sure.
So the individual affection of the mourning mm-hmm. and weeping for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When I am crying myself, mm-hmm. you know, far away from the other, you know, side effects, good side effects, of course, that it has. Mm-hmm. We say that it is very good for myself to purify my soul, you know, mm-hmm. because when I think that Imam Hussein sacrificed himself for the religion, mm-hmm. I think that what I have done for my religion.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Of
absolutely.
Course. I remember the things that Imam Hussein did, you know. He left behind himself every worldly, you know, we say, desires. Just he sacrificed himself for the sake of Allah. Mm-hmm. So it is very good to purify my soul. Just mentioning the Imam al-Hussein, you know, a tragedy and mourning for him.
Yes.
It is individually, mm-hmm. which is very good, and nobody can say that it is not good for the mm-hmm. people, individual person. Mm-hmm. But for the society, it showed a way because, as I told you before, you know, the people find out many different things from the, you know, this tragedy.
Absolutely. I mean, many it is full things. Of wisdom. There's no doubt about that.
Exactly the goals that Imam Hussein was following, you know, they are mentioned, you know, in this tragedy. So it is very good for the society because society find out the way that they have to follow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we have to follow Sirat al-Mustaqim. We have to follow the path of righteousness.
Exactly.
The path which is blessed. And the path which is blessed is the path that which the Imams exactly. have shown us. Yeah.
So both individually and socially, it has got good affections on the people.
Sure.
But unfortunately, sometimes the way that the people start mourning in the society is different.
Now, is that because of the influence of culture?
Exactly.
I mean, I wanted to mention this, that there is a conflict here between how people mourn in different cultures mm-hmm. and how that has found its way into a ritual which the imams have mentioned
that's
something
right.
else.
That's right, yeah. yes, yes. Yeah. This is the affection of culture, as you mm-hmm. said and mentioned, mm-hmm. exactly. But when we take a look at it, we find out that the people's culture, you know, is different.
Yes.
Somehow it is accepted by Islam, somehow it is not accepted by Islam.
Yes.
So no problem what way we start mourning, but it is very important that the mourning will be in a way that it is accepted by Islam.
Because this was the next question I was going to ask you, Sheikh Dawoodi, because on this topic it's very important, because in Asia, for example, in the Indian subcontinent, there are different ways of mourning there. And I have heard, and I have also listened to some scholars who have mentioned the fact that they say we are not allowed to harm our body.
Exactly.
Now, if this is the basis on, you know, the quality of the mourning, the conduct of the mourning, then it's very important that there are many things that people are doing which, you know, is a little bit frowned upon by Islam because it's not something that the imams mentioned.
You know, the way that some people nowadays, they harm their body, it is not accepted by Islam exactly.
Thank you.
Because I remember from many scholars of, you know, Muslim scholars,
yes,
that they mentioned, for example, if you are harming your body, that the blood comes out of your body, it is very good for you to you know, give it as a gift to a person who
needs
it.
Well, I mean, this is the thing that, you know, Imam Khomeini, God
bless
his great soul, recommended right from the beginning, because the image and the dignity and the conduct of the believer is very important, that we stick within the rules of our Sharia, because we are believers, we must stick to the rules of the Sharia, and whatever that says, we must maintain our rituals accordingly. Otherwise, we are, you know, we are doing something else. But as you quite rightly say, he recommended that why don't you just donate the blood,
exactly,
you know, for hospitals, for patients, for the sick, you know, because this is
those
a great,
who need, of
yeah,
course.
This is a great charity.
Yes,
this
of
is
course.
A great charity.
It is very recommended in Islam that, of course, the charity is recommended in Islam.
Yes, absolutely.
So, it is a very great charity, as you said, that, you know, give life to a person.
Exactly.
It is very important.
Yes.
Another thing which is very important, we say that we suppose that we are allowed to do such things. We are not, of course, but
no.
we suppose. Another things which comes out, we find out that many different people who are not, you know, agree with Muslims, they want to show a very bad view of Islam.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it?
You say that not all of the Muslims believe in it.
No.
And we say that the majority of people, a majority of Muslims, at least majority of Shia, do not do such things.
No.
But they want to exaggerate and show it as a way that the Shia people should do it. So we say, because they are going to show a bad side of Islam, and it is a bad publicity, you know, we say in this case, it is very important for the Muslims to ban it, stop it, not do it again.
Yeah. I mean, this, of course, again, is the responsibility of good people like
yourself,
you know, the ulama, to guide the people, you know, to educate them, to bring them, because, of course, a wise man learns these things as he goes along, that he realizes that certain conduct, because he thinks before he does something, that how somebody will see me if I'm doing something, you know, which is very unusual, and I can't justify it. I don't have any proof for what I'm doing.
Yes,
so
yes.
In that sense, you know, a wise person will think before he does something. But of course, a person who is not so educated, doesn't know so much, you know, needs guidance from scholars to tell them that, look, you know, if you do certain things like this, this is going to reflect very badly on other Muslims or even non-Muslims.
Of course, non-Muslims.
Looking at it.
Especially.
Yeah, because they're going to say, well, what kind of religion is this? Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Yes. As you mentioned, you know, do we have any proof for it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, just we'll look at the lives of infallible imams. None of them you can find that they did such things.
No.
And of course, we say that they have some, you know, ceremonies for mourning Imam Hussein, for mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
But the things that they were doing, they were crying for the sake of Imam Hussein. And of course, they were maybe, you know, hearing to some poems, as I told you.
Yeah, the eulogies,
yeah, of course, or something like
that. Yes, or the
like
praise of the Imam, and of the Ahlul Bayt,
These were the ways that Ahlul Bayt did for mourning Imam Hussein.
I see. Now, that explains the quality of the mourning. Now, in terms of the social impact of this mourning, how does that help in terms of the movement of the Muslim Ummah, especially in very difficult times like we are in now? You know, I mean, you know, we are facing so many oppressions and aggressions all over the Middle East. You know, in Syria, for example, there was the news that a Shia mosque had been burnt in northern Syria. I mean, in terms of that, you know, especially in these months, what should the Shia do? What is the duty of the Shia in terms of, or should I say, for Muslims on the whole who love the Ahlul Bayt? I should put it this way. Let me not use the word Shia. Let me say Muslims who love the Ahlul Bayt, who remember them, who know them to be on the path of truth, what should they do in terms of their duty, in terms of this mourning and the effect that this mourning has on a social level?
Yes. On a social levels, you know, that mourning for Imam al-Hussein can make the goal of Imam Hussein alive.
Right.
Because we go to hear about Imam al-Hussein and we find out the way that Imam Hussein showed us, mm-hmm. not the way that the other caliph, you know, showed the people.
Sure.
Because
as they were, yes, yes.
It was one thing. Another thing, as I told you, it was a system for educating people.
Yes.
Because at that time, nobody was allowed to hold special, you know, places for training people, educating people, or so on.
Sure.
But when they enter such ceremonies, they will be trained in a good way, that they find out many different things from Islam. And another thing which is very important, it is, you know, ejecting the spirituality to the society.
Well, this is another aspect, isn't it? Yes, it's tied with this spirituality, yes.
Yeah, it is very needed nowadays in the society. The people need a spirituality, not only in Muslim society, all of the societies. Mm. So one of the ways that they can eject, I call it ejection, you know, because find to be a spiritual, it is not something that I can learn, you know. I should act according to
it. Well, it's something from the heart.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, this is what we mean by the, you know, like with the urfa, or when we talk about Islamic mysticism. This is not a special training or a ritual.
Yes.
What we're really talking about is the heart. We are trying to purify the heart so that we open it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So when I like something, when I love something, I will try to, you know, do my best for it or for him or so on.
Absolutely.
So mourning for Imam Hussein will bring muhabba and the love and passion of Imam Hussein to our, you know, heart.
Sure.
So according to that, you know, love, the people start to follow Imam al-Hussein, and the spirituality will widespread in the society, inshallah.
Sure. In terms of, just briefly, I mean, we've only got one or two moments left in the program. In terms of this mourning for our coming of our last savior, Imam Mahdi,
inshallah,
may God hasten his appearance soon, how important is that for the mourners to remember him as well?
Yes. You know, I want to explain the similarity of these two movements,
right.
Imam al-Hussein and Imam al-Mahdi.
Yes.
Both of them, as you know, they will uprise for the justice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So at that time that Imam Hussein started his movement, he said because the society has changed from the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and they are going to go to the wrong way, and the rulers are not justice. So Imam Hussein wanted to be just, and his uprising was for justice.
Sure.
And we see that Imam al-Mahdi is going to be a reformer, of course, for the justice again. So this is a kind of similarity between the uprising of Imam Hussein and uprising of Imam al-Mahdi.
Well, in conclusion, Sheikh Dawoodi, whatever we've said in the program today, we can summarize the mourning as being something that, first of all, doesn't harm our body.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, you know, that if there is blood being given, it's given in charity. We've also talked about the fact that the mourning is natural, and it's something within Sharia,
yes,
and something that the Imams explained in terms of reward, both in terms of our repentance in this world, in terms of our reform and our education, in understanding what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did in his movement, but also for the fact that there is a great reward in the hereafter for this,
inshallah,
as well, because it's about improving our spiritual rank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of, for our viewers to understand this aspect, that we are given rank, we are given status. Because the believer only has superiority in the Quran according to his piety.
Yes.
So in other words, if we are doing these things for the Ahlul Bayt, we are increasing our station,
inshallah,
before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an important conclusion that we can,
inshallah,
gain from what we have said today. And the other thing is that our conduct, in terms of the quality of our mourning, must be dignified at all times and within, as I say, Sharia law. And the other aspect, any other comments you would like to make, any concluding remarks you would like to make on this aspect?
Yes, of course. You know, finally and very brief, I would like to say that this uprising, you know, and of course mourning for Imam Hussein,
yes,
make the society alive, you know. Many
That's right.
different
this living
societies,
aspect.
You know,
yeah. yes.
many different societies need something as an example, a good example to follow. Mm-hmm. And the Imam Hussein movement was a good, you know, example. And mourning for Imam Hussein makes it alive, you know.
Well, this is one of the unique aspects of what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did in Karbala, you know. I mean, many aspects, writers tend to think that, oh, he just went into Karbala and it seemed like suicide or
suicide,
something like
yeah.
that. But we can see 1,400 years. I mean, this is not something
yeah,
that happened
yes,
yesterday. And this is the remarkable thing that many Westerners even say,
yeah.
That when they come and they see these mourning ceremonies, they say that we see these people crying and we think that that person has passed away yesterday.
Yes.
But this is something that is 1,400 years old, which shows that Imam Hussein did something forever,
this is, of course.
This is eternal, and it is not something...
It made it general, of course.
Yeah, this is not something that we can also conclude that even from the movement of Imam al-Mahdi, may God hasten his appearance soon, is something that's going to stop. Even Imam Mahdi will continue with this as well.
Inshallah, yeah. Of course, yeah. We say that Imam al-Mahdi has a special, you know, name, that he is called Muntaqim. So,
which means in Arabic,
that. This term means that Imam al-Mahdi is going to follow the way of Imam Hussein did,
right.
of course, yeah.
Right.
He's going to kill those people who were against justice.
Exactly.
And nowadays in the world, there are many people who are against justice.
Absolutely.
Of course, now Yazid is not here. Of course, he's not alive.
But he's in different forms
of
and
course,
different
yeah.
shapes, of
yeah.
course.
So because Imam al-Mahdi is against, you know, injustice, and he wants to bring justice in the society, so inshallah, he will come and widespread the justice all over the world.
Well, Sheikh Dawoodi, I mean, thank you for these
You're
last
welcome.
Comments as well. Viewers, I hope that you've gained a lot of benefit from the program in terms of understanding the ritual of mourning of Imam Hussein, which is very, very deep-rooted, and it is mostly about the heart and about spirituality and about keeping it alive, especially the movement of Imam Hussein. But it just leaves me to thank Sheikh Dawoodi for this great contribution and valuable contribution on clarifying this aspect of the mourning of. And it just leaves me to say
to
viewers, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thanks very much for watching and goodbye.
Thank you.
You.